Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. I want to think just a little bit with you today and the next few Sundays on the subject of prayer. It's an important subject that I have often minimized in my thinking and in my practice. And I hope that the lessons that we think together the next few weeks will be helpful for us. We want to be like Jesus, and this is a subject that will draw us closer to Him. Very much so. I want to if you would, think through a few questions with me for just a second. Do you pray? If you just think about that in your life. Do you pray? And men, are you a man of prayer? If you look at your life and say, are you a man of prayer? And ladies, are you a woman of prayer? Are you devoted to prayer? Does prayer, is it something that's that important to you that would characterize your life? I want us to recognize disciples of Jesus are devoted to prayer. You just read through the New Testament scriptures, and that is just abundantly clear. I want to just share a few, almost in rapid-fire procession with you, just some scriptures that will just emphasize this point. You think about the early disciples after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and they're told to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, and what are they doing? It says they, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. And then after Pentecost, after 3,000 souls were baptized, what were they doing? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Notice that continual devotion to prayer again. And then you think about what the apostles said in Acts 6, when this issue came up regarding the need for these Grecian widows. It says, we can't help you because we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And then the text we looked at last week in our lesson, when Paul's writing these exhortations and commands to the saints in Rome, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Tells the same thing to the Colossians at the end of that letter. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well. And then there are other passages that don't use the same word that's translated devoted here, but you think about what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians as that letter's coming to an end. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, he's just gone through this armor of God that we've got to be equipped with. We're in the middle of this spiritual warfare and this conflict that we need God's help with. And notice how he ends that section. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. See that word all in there? With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. And so again, prayer is important. And then in Paul's letter to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he goes on to say, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so disciples of Jesus are devoted to prayer. But you recognize this and you look at the lives of Jesus' disciples and his followers when he was walking on the earth, and you realize it was not always this way. They were not always so devoted to prayer. Consider Luke 11, if you would, part of the passage that Jacob just read for us. Luke's recording this. It says in 11 verse 1, it happened that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Think about that request for just a second. Lord, teach us to pray. They saw something in Jesus in his prayer life. The disciples then recognized the deficiency in their own prayer life. They're recognizing, he's got something I don't have. We need that. They recognize this deficiency. But I want you to think about this for just a second. They had the Psalms. We read through the Psalms and we see such great prayer, such a text that just really teaches us to pray. They had the Psalms. They had opportunity to go to the temple daily for prayer. In Acts 3, we see the daily hour of prayer there in the temple. The temple was intended to be a house of prayer. When Jesus cleanses the temple in Luke 19, you see this. He said, my Father's house is to be called a house of prayer. And so prayer's all around them. Yet the prayer life of Jesus was distinct. Again, there's something that's special about the way Jesus prayed. There's something that's special about the priority of prayer in Jesus' life. Perhaps it's the frequency, just how often he's praying. Maybe it's the intensity of his prayers, or the personal way in which he prays, as he'll go on to explain to them, Father, our Father in heaven, and addressing God as his Father. Again, the disciples recognized the deficiency in their devotion to prayer, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe you're like me, and you too recognize a deficiency in your prayer life, a weakness, something that's incomplete, something that's lacking. And so again, the next few weeks, I really want us to focus on prayer and think about prayer, and not just in our lessons, but let's really devote ourselves to prayer and think about how we can embody what we're going to see in Jesus and what he teaches. And so today what I want to do is just look at Jesus' example. I want to look at his life and look at his devotion to prayer, see examples of him praying and a few of his specific prayers. And I want to do so that we can be encouraged, that we can be inspired to pray with the greater fervency and frequency and devotion that we see in him. And so for this, we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. If you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 3, Luke focuses on Jesus' devotion to prayer really more than any other gospel. I mean, you see Jesus praying in the other gospels. Don't get me wrong, but this is a major point of emphasis in Luke's writing. In both volumes, prayer is a central theme in Luke and Acts. Volume 1, Luke emphasizes Jesus' devotion to prayer, and so you see frequent examples of him praying. In Volume 2. Luke's emphasizing, as we just read a moment ago, the disciples' devotion to prayer as they're imitating the example that they learned in Jesus. And so again, let's turn to Luke and let's see Jesus. Jesus was devoted to prayer. This is something that just characterized his life. So in Luke chapter 3, now you've had a chance to get there and I've not because I was talking, but Luke chapter 3, we'll pick up in 21. Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in you I'm well pleased." Only Luke records Jesus praying on this occasion, and so presumably as Jesus comes up out of the waters, he's baptized, Jesus began praying to his Father. Even at the earliest stages in his ministry, Jesus was conscious of his utter need and absolute dependence on his Father. Utter need and absolute dependence on God. Such devotion to prayer. Again, just even at an occasion like this that he would come up and he would be praying, such devotion to prayer, such dependence upon God would go on to characterize his ministry. I mean, we're just frequently seeing him praying and depending on prayer. If Jesus was so dependent upon God in prayer, how much more should we be? And so, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And in this context, we'll have seen just prior to this, Jesus healing the leper. And after that, it seemed that the leper went out just telling everyone about what Jesus was doing. And so, he's at a height of popularity. People are coming to him for teaching and for healing. And so let's notice this. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. Again, picture this scene for just a second. Large crowds are coming to Jesus for teaching and for healing. Jesus is at a height of popularity. People are interested. What he has to offer, they're interested and they're going out to him. They're seeking him. Yet Jesus would often slip away from the crowds to the wilderness to pray. A passage we've referenced this year in earlier lessons, but in Luke 4 and verse 43, Jesus told his disciples, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Again, that purpose statement of Jesus, he's there to preach. Jesus was sent to preach the kingdom, that's his purpose. But think about this. When large crowds were gathering to hear him, to be there to hear him do what he was supposed to do, he would often slip away to pray. What does that say about the importance of prayer? Again, if this is his purpose, if this is what he was called for, yet he would leave those opportunities on some occasions for the purpose of praying, what does that say about the importance of prayer? Think about all the activities that we devote ourselves to. Think about all the ways that we fill our time. Think about all the priorities and all the things that are most important to us. Where is prayer on that scale? You know, if it just does it ever make it to the to-do list? Does it ever come to the top of the to-do list? We will never, it's my opinion, but I don't think we'll ever find time to pray. I think we have to make time to pray. That's what we see Jesus doing. Let me give you a similar example, something I referenced earlier. Look at Acts chapter 6 for just a second. Acts chapter 6. And listen to this occasion. Again, I referenced this a second ago, but Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing, a complaint arose on part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because of their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." This is an important situation. I mean, this is an opportunity of conflict and division in the church, one of the very first major internal problems that could come up. An opportunity for great division. But notice the disciples or the apostles here. Again, recognizing there's something that they need to focus on. And he says the ministry of the word. That's their obligation. The beginning of Acts, Jesus ascends to heaven, but he says, "You'll be my witnesses. You'll go out and you'll preach. You'll preach of the resurrection." But for the longest time, I read verse 4 and said the apostles need to devote themselves to preaching. Look again what it says. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. He's putting these things up here side by side as this is what our focus needs to be. Have you ever said no to a request because you're too busy praying? You know, there's just too much that I have to pray for. I just cannot. Let me help you find someone else who can help you with this. But right now I've got a commitment to prayer that I cannot neglect. I cannot overlook this commitment to prayer. I know for me, I've said no for a lot of selfish personal reasons, but I've never said no because I was too busy praying. Again, yet as important as this issue was, the apostles recognized that they could not neglect their critical commitment and their need to pray. And what we're seeing back in Luke 5 is Jesus exemplifying the exact same priority and devotion to prayer. So back in Luke 5, again, Jesus would often leave crowds who desperately needed his message to pray. If Jesus would take time away from such important things in order to pray, how much more should we take time away from insignificant things to pray? Again, I realize I have such a long way to go when I see Jesus in this. So if you would turn to Luke 6. Luke 6. Here we see Jesus praying before he'll select his 12 apostles. And so Luke 6, beginning in verse 12. It was at this time, and what he said just prior to this is, the religious leaders have decided it's time to kill Jesus. And then he says in verse 12, it was at this time he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, He called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Again, the night before Jesus chose his 12 apostles, he went off to the mountain to pray. He made a deliberate, focused effort to pray, and says he spent the whole night in prayer to God on this occasion. And recognize, this is an important decision. He's about to select, he's about to choose the men who he would send out to turn the world upside down in his name. And so this is an important decision. Are there nights that you just can't sleep for whatever reason? You know, just either you just lay there, you try to go to bed, and you're just awake. Or maybe, you know, you fall asleep for 45 minutes, an hour, and you wake up. How do you fill that time? Do you use it as a time to draw closer to God, to renew your dependence on Him, to find strength in Him, to seek His face? When we're stressed, when we face challenges, when we face important decisions, when we have more than we feel we can handle, let's let prayer be our first thought. But notice this again. Jesus is not just lying awake in bed simply trying to find a way to fill his time with something positive. Again, he intentionally stays awake all night in prayer to God, in prayer to his Father on this occasion. And he can read hearts and minds. And yet he recognized his dependence upon God with this decision and sets an example for that. How many decisions come and go without making the time to pray? How many big decisions just come and go without deliberately, intentionally seeking God in prayer? Again, Jesus exemplifies this for us. Well, Luke 9. Before I read the verse, I want to say a little bit about this context. This is at a really critical point in Jesus' ministry, a turning point, really. He has been teaching and healing with all this authority, and he's going to ask his disciples some important questions about who people say that I am. And even more importantly, who do you say that I am? At that point, he's going to begin to transition and say, okay, I'm the Christ. This is what it means to be the Christ. I've got to suffer and die. We're going to Jerusalem. And he's going to start to explain the true spiritual nature of his kingdom. So again, this is an important point in his life, in his ministry, and a really important point for his disciples. And so notice Luke 9:18. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets." And in verse 20, he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." But he warned them, instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." Again, a critical point in his ministry. Who do the crowd say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Here's what this is all about. And this is an important point in the disciples' training, a turning point for them as well. And notice, what was Jesus doing just before that point? He's praying. He was praying alone. Is there a connection here between the prayer we just read in 6:12? In 6:12, what was he doing? He was praying before he chose these 12. Now, is he praying for his disciples again, that they would... that about their growth, about their development, about their learning, that they would draw the right conclusions, that they would handle this instruction well, that they would continue on with him despite the challenges, despite the ways these things would challenge their minds. And not to mention the temptation that's going to come when he's going to be crucified. Again, so, but again, the primacy and the priority of prayer in Jesus' life. We'll look at a little bit later in Luke 9. A little bit later in Luke 9, beginning in verse 28. Some 8 days later, after saying these things, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothes white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. And they were Moses and Elijah, who also appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Again, he goes up on the mountain specifically to pray. Think about the significance of this occasion. He's transfigured. He's just said, I'm going to suffer and die. But now these three apostles get this glimpse of his glory. He's transfigured, as you see, this just brilliant, radiant manifestation of his, of who he truly is. And he's speaking with Elijah and Moses. And notice what he's talking about. His suffering and the glory in Jerusalem. What's about to happen. And on this same occasion, we didn't read this, but just a little bit farther down, his father proclaimed, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. All this began with an intentional devotion to prayer. And it's interesting, on the two occasions during Jesus' earthly ministry where we see this father's proclamation, you are my son, notice both of those began with Jesus praying. And so we get to Luke 11, and are you surprised at this request? Luke 11 and verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he'd finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Again, there's something special about the way Jesus prayed. There's something special about the priority of prayer in his life. The disciples saw Jesus pray, they heard Jesus pray, and they realized, I don't have what he has. I need what he has. The disciples recognized that deficiency in their own life, and they said, Master, Lord, teach us to pray. Are we as interested in learning to pray? Do we see how important it is? Or are we minimizing something that the Scriptures and Jesus place so much value and importance on? And so in our future lessons, we'll look at his response a little more carefully, but again, let's go back to Jesus and see what he's doing. And so turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, and we'll see Jesus praying before his suffering and his death. We'll pick up our reading in verse 39. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And he, being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he arose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow and said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. At this time, Jesus began to experience a stress, an anxiety that's greater than we can know. He's about to be hit with pain and suffering and temptation, tempted in ways that we cannot imagine. Jesus again recognized his utter need and dependence on God. And Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed with faith, with fervency, with a focus. Again, such devotion to prayer, such dependence upon God has characterized his whole life. Are we surprised that in his darkest hours he would continue to rely on God in prayer, that he would continue to turn to God in prayer and be devoted to God in prayer? Jesus absolutely needed prayer to overcome the temptation that was before him. And he sought to instill that same recognition in his apostles. Luke's account of this bookends this little paragraph with his instruction to his disciples, pray that you do not enter into temptation. They needed to learn that desperately. And Jesus was showing them how. But let's notice again the content of his prayer. What he's saying. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. yet not my will, but yours be done. We can slap that on to an end of a prayer. It's easy to do that, but it's hard, much, much harder to mean it. We've got to see this was Jesus' focus in prayer, the will of his Father. That's what he's seeking all alone. And in these difficult, challenging, overwhelming times, as he would wrestle and struggle, is that commitment to God and commitment to God's will. Again, when I see Jesus' devotion to prayer and his focus, I have a long way to go. And let's look at Jesus' prayers on the cross. Luke 23. Luke 23, beginning in verse 34. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And then down in verse 46, and Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And so as Jesus is dying this torturous, agonizing, shameful death for your sins and mine, what's his focus? Where's his energy and his attention given? He's praying for those who are engaged in this dark injustice, who are treating him with vile and violence, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And just as he's about to die, he prayed, expressing and renewing his commitment to his Father, quoting from a psalm we studied over the summer, Psalm 31, verse 6. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Again, seeing his trust, his devotion, expressing those things, renewing those things, he offers that up to God, and it says he breathed his last. I think we can safely say Jesus epitomizes devotion to prayer. When we look at the life of Jesus, what we see is just a complete, utter devotion and dependence upon prayer. There are other occasions that Luke records of Jesus praying. Before he fed the 5,000, he blessed the bread. After the 70 return, he prayed in Luke 10. During the Passover and the instructions for the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks for the bread, gave thanks for the cup. In Luke 22, another prayer we skipped over, he prayed for Peter specifically, that his faith would stand, that he would be an encouragement to his brethren in light of what was coming. And other Gospels record other examples of Jesus praying that Luke didn't even touch on. How many other times of prayer, how many other times was Jesus praying that there's no record of? Again, just this frequent attention to prayer. Prayer was important to Jesus. Prayer was critically important to Jesus. Jesus prayed when he was busy with important work. He was busy. He had things to do, but he made time to pray. Jesus prayed before he made important decisions. Jesus prayed at the most significant moments of his life. You know, you think about his baptism. You think about his transfiguration. You think about the events surrounding his death. He's praying in all those occasions. Jesus prayed before and during the greatest challenges of his life. Jesus was busy to eat on, too busy to eat on some occasions. Jesus was too busy to sleep on some occasions, but Jesus was never too busy to pray. Jesus was devoted to prayer. Jesus prayed without ceasing. Jesus prayed frequently. Jesus prayed regularly. Jesus prayed with focus, with purpose. Jesus prayed as a son talking to his Father. And Jesus prayed as a son seeking the will of his Father. Jesus prayed for his spiritual success. Jesus prayed for the spiritual success of those that he loved and those that were close to him. Jesus prayed. You just look at Jesus' life and you see he was a man of prayer. And if I am truly a disciple of Jesus, I will pray. I will commit to learn to pray like Jesus. I will devote myself to prayer like Jesus. And I hope his example instructs us, exhorts us, encourages us, inspires us to pray. And so as we began, do you pray? Are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? Are you devoted to prayer? Will you commit to that? Again, for our lessons, I want to spend some time just thinking about this and learning how to pray and looking at Jesus' response to his disciples about how to pray and what we should focus on in prayer. But if it just stays here, I'm not that big of a talker. I don't really like to talk. I don't like to waste breath. I hope it doesn't just stay here. I hope we will commit to praying, finding just that special time or special times where you can have your own quiet, personal time of devotion to our God, to your God. And each of you know what that looks like in your own life. What would happen to this church if everyone here was more devoted to prayer? I mean, think about the possibilities. If what would happen? But let me say this. That's the last thing Satan wants. The last thing he would want is for every one of us to be on our knees more often to our Father. And I can almost assure you that we'll be given plenty of opportunities to choose not to pray. As our days come, as our weeks come, we'll have plenty of opportunities before us to choose not to pray. My guess is the alarm clock will become your enemy. If you've set your mind, I'm going to wake up early, like the example we read in Mark 1:35. He arose early while it was still dark to pray. If you say, I'm going to wake up early and pray, the alarm clock's becoming your enemy. It's going to be the battleground. That's going to be the temptation zone. Your favorite TV shows, your favorite apps, even the apps and the TV shows you don't like are going to start calling to you for with no explicable reason. But they just lure you in to waste your time on things that are not significant when you said, I need to pray more often. Work responsibilities, they're going to feel so much more urgent, so much more important, so much more pressing. Jesus had some important things to do. But while they were coming to him for teaching and for healing, he would often slip away into the wilderness to pray. Will you choose to follow Jesus? Will you imitate his devotion to prayer? Will you say, Lord, teach me to pray? Let's pray. Our great and holy Father, we praise your name. You are worthy of more praise than we can offer. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love and the amazing ways you deal with us. Thank you for the ways you patiently instruct us, for the example you've given us in Jesus. We have more than just commands to focus on you in prayer, but we have examples of what this looks like that can inspire us and fill us up with you. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing to pray to you. And how often we overlook it and minimize it and just take for granted the fact that you have extended yourself to us and opened yourself up, that we can, because of the blood of Jesus, come before you boldly to your throne of grace to find mercy and help in times of need. What an amazing gift. What an amazing blessing. And we praise you for that. Please help each of us to be resolved to seek you, to seek your face, to live out our faith, to walk with you each day and do so through constant devotion to prayer. Equip us, strengthen us against temptation. We'll be tempted in so many ways, but we need you, and help us to recognize our need for you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can help you in any way, if we can come alongside and pray for you, we want to do that. If we can do anything to encourage you and lift you up, we want to do that. If you're not in Christ, we want to baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can raise to walk in newness of life. And as Paul says in Romans, appeal to God as your Father, as we've been talking about in our lesson today. If we can do anything to help you, please come forward as we stand and sing.